Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
America has been referred to as a city on a hill, and frankly, I think what we're seeing today is an attempt to literally crush that light that ultimately is a beacon of freedom to the world. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Holly, I think what we're seeing right now, and it's very evident in the cases that we have involving the churches, is on the one hand, these governors are trying to suppress the church. And on the other hand, they are promoting the rioters and even the destruction of their cities and law enforcement and our Judeo-Christian values happening at the exact same time. I think what we're witnessing is an attempt to literally destroy the very foundation and fabric of America. And this particular phrase, city on a hill, it actually begins many, many years ago, 2,000 years ago to be exact. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and following, says that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot easily be hidden. Now, we have been to the Sea of Galilee many times, and that visual of what Jesus is talking about is very, very clear. When the sun goes down, and obviously there's no lights, what you see on the side of the hills are little shimmering lights of the little communities or the cities that are established there. And that goes all the way back to the very time of Jesus. Now, they were using lanterns, we're using electricity today, but the same thing. What you're seeing in this very dark surrounded lake, the Sea of Galilee, surrounded by mountains, are shimmering lights on the hillside of these various cities. Now, if you are on one side of the Sea of Galilee, you can clearly see to the other side by virtue of where that light is. You may not see the shoreline, but you know exactly that's where the mountains are. If you're in the actual Sea of Galilee, like the disciples, remember they were there in the Sea of Galilee and they encountered the storm. They could actually point their boat to the place where they could see that shining city on a hill. It's like a lighthouse, a beacon to help guide them. So that's what Jesus is saying. A city on a hill cannot be easily hid. It's a light, it's a beacon. John Winthrop, he ultimately, when he came to America, he had a lecture or a treatise known as A Model of Christian Charity. He delivered it on March 21, 1630, at the Holyrood Church in Southampton for the first group of Massachusetts Bay colonists that had embarked on the ship Arbella to settle Boston, Massachusetts. And Winthrop, in his message, referred to America as that city on a hill. Now, that city on a hill references Matthew chapter 5. Now, if you come to 1980, the day before the election of President Ronald Reagan, on November 3, 1980, in his election eve address, entitled A Vision for America, said that he was inspired by a book called The Secret Destiny of America. And he ultimately then references John Winthrop and his words of America being a shiny city on a hill. Let me just read this. It says, I have quoted John Winthrop's words more than once on the campaign trail this year, for I believe that Americans in 1980 are every bit as committed to that vision of a shining city on a hill as were those long ago settlers. These visitors to that city on the Potomac do not come as white or black, red or yellow. They are not Jews or Christians, conservatives or liberals, Democrats or Republicans. They are Americans, awed by what has gone before, proud of what for them is still a shining city on a hill. He then addresses that later in his farewell address as well, mm-hmm. January 11, 1989, where he says that he has spoken about the shining city on a hill all of his political life, but I don't know if I ever quite communicated what I saw when I said it. But in my mind, it was a tall, proud city, built on rocks stronger than oceans, windswept, God-blessed, and teeming with people of all kinds, living in harmony and peace. A city with free ports that hummed with commerce and creativity. And if there had to be city walls, the walls had doors, and the doors were open to anyone with the will and the heart to get there. That's how I saw it and see it still. President Ronald Reagan.
Well, you know, light dispels darkness. And you go back to the days of Jesus and back to Matthew 5. You think about they had those little oil lamps, not electricity back then, but just little oil lamps. When you light that, it would light up the whole room. And he says in Matthew 5, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And, you know, I'm reminded about that as we represent these various churches. This is our moment when we see darkness all around us, when we see the evil, it seems to be prevailing. We as the church are the light, and we are to dispel the darkness.
Yeah, and so, you know, from the very beginning, when this country was in its infancy, when we had the Puritans come here in the 1600s, this whole establishment of America was referred to as a city on a hill, mm-hmm. and it harkens back to Matthew chapter 5.
Right.
And everybody, when you use that, knows what it's about. President John F. Kennedy actually referred to America on January 9, 1961, and he referred to this founding here with the ship of Arbella and John Winthrop and the standard he set before the people. Ronald Reagan, on the eve of his election, referred to it, and in his farewell address, referred to it as a city on a hill. America, frankly, has a destiny as a city on a hill. And that destiny was founded on Judeo-Christian values, on Judeo-Christian freedom and principles. And so what we're seeing today, don't miss this and don't underestimate it, mm-hmm. is a battle for the heart and soul of America. But it's not just the heart and soul of America, it's the world. And on the one hand, there is an outright assault on the church to suppress it. In some states, it's worse than others. In some states, the church now has some freedom. But the governors never had the authority to suppress the church anyway. It's not under their jurisdiction. The First Amendment declares that it's not part of their jurisdictional authority. The Bible declares it's not part of their jurisdictional authority. Jesus declared that render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and to God the things that belong to God, Matthew chapter 22, 21.
But we cannot put our light under the basket. We've got to let it shine.
That's right. And so, you know, some people, when the restrictions came down, they said, well, we have to just do it. We can do it online. That's a very myopic view because some people can't do online. Some people don't have online churches that we represent, like the Lighthouse Fellowship Church in Virginia doesn't have online, and many of its members don't have online.
And we're created to worship together.
And the word church is ecclesia, an assembly of people. Mm-hmm. And the Bible speaks about anointing with oil, laying your hands on people to commission them and to actually pray for them so that the sick can be healed.
And don't forsake about, the meeting together. Right?
Yeah, Hebrews 10, 24, 25, that area of Hebrews chapter 10, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together, as is the custom of some.
Right.
So some people say, well, you can just meet in your home. And that works for some people, but not for others, because in some places you had a limit of 10, so you couldn't have more than 10 people. You couldn't have more than 10 people in your home or go to some home with more than 10 people. But in California, you can't have anybody, nobody. The California governor has issued orders saying you can't sing. You can go to a protest and you can chant all you want, sing all you want, but you cannot sing for worship. Then he came back and said, now you can't even meet in person. But I encourage all the protesters, tens of thousands of them, to keep it up. I want to hear from you. I do hear from you. Keep it up. God bless you. That's the governor of California. At the same time, suppressing the church. No in-person services, no in-person home Bible study and fellowship. On the one hand, don't miss what's happening. The attempt of a repressive regime always is targeting a church when it wants to gain control. And the church is the bastion, the impediment for their ultimate destructive activity. And then on the other hand, these governors promoting violence and the destruction of America. Stand with us as we stand for freedom and the church. Visit lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. lc.org.